Open your Bible once again, please, to Revelation chapter 21. Revelation chapter 21. We were looking at verse 24 on the last program. The nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it, that is, into the New Jerusalem. We're speaking now about the situation during the millennial reign of Christ. Peoples of the earth, or those who inhabit the earth, come out of the judgment of the nations. They are saved because of their acceptance of the message preached by the Jewish evangelists who preached the gospel of the kingdom back in chapter 7 in the book of Revelation. All right, the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it. Now we're speaking here of the New Jerusalem as it floats above the earth. I'm stumbling here just a little bit to say whether it floats. It orbits the earth orbits it. Keep in mind, we have a totally different ball game going on here. You have seen, as the description is given in chapter 20 of the Great White Throne Judgment, in verse 11, let me read that, I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. So we're dealing with a whole new structure here, a whole new environment, if you will. Now, at any rate, suffice it to say that the New Jerusalem is the light source for the peoples of the earth. Now, it says that the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. Human civilization continues, that is, as an institution, though things have changed radically. There is no more unrighteousness in the earth. Everybody goes into this millennial reign of Christ with a right relationship to God. They're all saved people. During this 1,000 years, apparently, there are children who are born, and as I've mentioned earlier, with a 100-year grace period during which they have been exposed to the truth of the sovereignty of God and King Jesus, if you will, they have 100 years during which they will either accept him as their Lord and Savior and Master, or they will not. And at the conclusion of that 100 years, they will be removed from the scene. I cannot be more specific than that because, frankly, we're not given any more than that. And right now, I don't know that it's a matter we need to have any deliberate knowledge of. But the nations of the earth, of the saved, walk in the light of it. The kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. The gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. Where? In the New Jerusalem. Now, I was reading in one commentary, and the commentator made a kind of unusual or unique comment. He said, it's interesting, there's no mention of these gates shutting, opening and closing, and neither is there anything to indicate that there is a ground surface entry into the New Jerusalem. As a matter of fact, and he happened to point out that the angel that is showing John around, remember, it says in verse 9, there came one of the seven angels which had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues, and talked with me, saying, come hither, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain and showed me. This particular commentator said, well, you know, it kind of looks as though the only way in happens to be through the Lord, or specifically because of the relationship the individual has with the Lord. I direct your attention to the gospel accounts that describe the situation after the resurrection. You remember that the believers are gathered in an upper room, the doors being shut and barred, the windows shuttered and closed. And as they are there, Jesus suddenly appears in the midst of them. Now, whether or not he just materializes, poof, there, or whether he walks through the wall, or comes down through the ceiling, or up through the floor, is immaterial. The point is, material obstacles pose no barrier to the passing of a glorified body. Now remember, as a part of the sequence of events at the rapture, the dead in Christ are given glorified bodies, and those who are alive and remain are caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And Paul describes it. He says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. This mortal must put on immortality. You find that John talks about it from the standpoint of we're going to have a body like unto his glorious body. We shall be changed, for we shall see him as he is. There, and I believe it's chapter 3, Beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Matter that is on a physical level that you and I have had to deal with throughout our lives in this world, apparently the nature of everything shifts and changes into a plane of existence that will be new to us. You will note here that it says, they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, verse 27, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that is into the New Jerusalem. There shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. Now, this concludes chapter 21, but it gives you a great deal to consider. And to help you with that, let me see if I can knock over something here. Let me give you the characteristics of heaven. And these are all derived from the scripture. There are 12 characteristics, and these were compiled by a fellow named René Pache, I believe I am pronouncing his word, the name right, P-A-C-H-E. 12 characteristics. We'll give them as one word and then give you scripture to back it up. Number one, glory. The Lord Jesus prayed, Father, I desire that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. John 17:24. Second characteristic is holiness. God said, quote, I dwell in the holy place. Before him the seraphim cry unceasingly, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. And specifically there in Isaiah chapter, chapter 6 and verse 3, the seraphim cry out there, and the word that is used is translated in the English as Lord is in capital case letters, indicative of the Hebrew name Jehovah. Holy, holy, holy is Jehovah of hosts. Quoting here both passages, Isaiah 57:15 and also chapter 6 verse 3. This third characteristic is beauty. Out of Zion the perfection of beauty God hath shined forth, it says in Psalm 50, verse 2. Thine eyes shall see the King in his beauty, Isaiah 33:17. Fourth characteristic is immortality. God only has immortality, 1 Timothy 6:16. Light is the fifth. Jehovah will arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee, and the nations, and nations shall come to thy light. Jehovah will be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. From Isaiah chapter 60, verses 2, verse 3, and verse 19. Number 6, unity. God will complete the execution of his eternal plan to sum up all things in Christ, the things in heaven and things upon the earth. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 10. Number 7 is perfection. He who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Jesus Christ, Paul told the Philippians in chapter 1, verse 6. We shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. The 8th characteristic is love. I have made known unto them thy name, that the love wherewith thou hast, that the love wherewith thou lovest me may be in them, and I in them. John chapter 17, verse 26. There is a 9th characteristic of this heavenly city, joy. Jehovah thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save, he will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love, he will joy over thee with singing. Zephaniah in the Old Testament, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17. It's also a place of consolation. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Matthew 5, verse 4. God is the God of all comfort. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 3. The 11th characteristic, perfect happiness. 9 times Jesus declared blessed or happy those who suffer when they live in this world according to his law, quoting there from, or you can actually go there, Matthew chapter 5, verses 3 through 11. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, Revelation 7, 17. Now the 12th and final characteristic, eternality. Now we must remember our days since we have so few of them. Let's number our days, Psalm 90, verse 12. But there the elect will enjoy eternal life, John 3:16, and will reign forever and ever, Revelation 22, verse 5. These characteristics are listed in Pache's book, The Future Life, pages 347 through 357. We have in store for us, well, actually, we are told we have in store for us things that our eyes have not seen nor our minds comprehended, and we are given, just as it were, a thumbnail briefing of what is in store as far as the physical characteristics of this millennial reign is. We have finished chapter 21, and I don't have a lot of time, but let's begin now chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me, that is the angel, earlier in chapter 21, who was shown John this new Jerusalem. He showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruit, and yielded her fruit every month, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. That's all the time I've got. We will start here on the next broadcast. I hope you'll join me then to see what the Bible says.